more than just a head.
Floating head on Zoom.
Okay. Alright.
Ready?
I'm ready. Hi everyone, and welcome to Life Between the Notes, and thanks so much for listening today. I'm Kirsten Myers, a local oboist here in South Central Pennsylvania with my co-host, Morgan Davis, who is a flutist also in South Central Pennsylvania. So, Morgan, this is our 21st episode.
Is it really?
It is.
It doesn't seem like we've done that many.
It doesn't. Yeah. Well, it's been a while because we have been on hiatus for
a bit.
Whatever reason.
Life.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why. So 21st episode. So our Life Between the Notes is old enough to drink now. And so, I mean, tea and coffee.
Right. Of course.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah. So we're really celebrating today, but
I would have made mimosas if I thought of that.
Right. Well,
yeah.
Okay. There's always next time.
Yeah.
Cause you can drink beyond
21.
Being 21.
Okay. All right. Next time.
So yeah. There we go. Okay, so if you are watching this on YouTube, you'll see that our format is a little different today. Normally, we're on Zoom, but we're actually together.
Yay.
At Morgan's home, so which smells really good, by the way. So, and I'm told that the candles that they get are at a place that's across from Passenger Coffee.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If anyone wants a recommendation for candles, just hit me up.
Yes. It smells really good. Okay. So anyway, so I might be staying for a while. One of the reasons we're doing it here is because we just wanted to try something new. And also, I'm actually going to be talking with Morgan about something that she's been working on for a while. And it's a relatively new idea that she's introduced, and I don't know exactly what you would call it. Like, it's almost, I don't know if it's maybe a community or like a movement or, but it's called the Bee List, and it's something that she has created that essentially it's, well, I'm going to let you explain it. I'm not going to explain it. But before we get into that, so I'm just going to give you a little information about Morgan.
Something like having your bio read, but then it almost never happens when you're in person with someone.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like podcasts or whatever, and even then it's sort of like, oh, yeah, okay. So this is a first.
Yes. So you're going to learn all about yourself.
Okay. All right.
So Morgan teaches at Millersville University, Franklin and Marshall College, and in her private studio, Davis Flute Studio. She freelances in regional orchestras like the Harrisburg Symphony and Lancaster Symphony, and serves on the board of the Flute Society of Greater Philadelphia and the membership committee of the National Flute Association. Morgan is a certified yoga instructor and mindfulness meditation instructor, and teaches creative resilience to musicians of all types, in addition to curating the blog and newsletter, The Bee List. And that is why we are here today. So, if you know Morgan, I mean, I consider her to be a very highly introspective person.
She laughs. That's the nicest way to say that. I'm learning just how introspective I am as I age. I'm going, oh yeah,
Well,
it's got perks and drawbacks.
Well, I don't know. As we age, we learn all sorts of interesting things about ourselves, whether good or bad. But I mean, you are heavily invested in your own well-being. And that of others. And for me personally, like I truly appreciate your outlook and your commitment to bettering yourself and the world around you. Because I think, I take a lot of inspiration from that myself. And mostly from what, you know, following you on Instagram, really, and the things that you share. And just, it's... I don't know. I appreciate it.
Well, that means a lot. Thank you. I mean, you know, sometimes being online kind of feels like talking into the void. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like you're wondering, like, who's reading this? And mm-hmm. I think it's not, you know, we see all these people with large followings, but it's not normal to have a bunch of people following you online. And if you don't, it can kind of feel like, well, why am I writing this or why am I posting this? And it's always nice when it strikes a chord with somebody and they enjoy it and makes it feel a little less superfluous.
Yeah, it's great. So, and I'm sure I'm not the only person
who feels that way. Well, it means a lot that you say that, so thank you.
Well, sure, of course. So before we get into what the B list is, how did you get to this point of even creating it?
Well, I think it's just time, honestly. I mean, I've lived in Lancaster now for over 10 years. And so prior to that, I was in Wisconsin, post-grad for 2 or 3 years. And, you know, it's long enough to have some experience of just understanding how much effort it takes to build any kind of career in music, no matter how much you're playing. And so I think initially when I started writing about either teaching or playing or whatever, it was during the pandemic, and I've always liked to write. And I did a little bit of that freelance when I moved here, for different publications, nothing major. But I like it, and it's just always been a nice way to sort of figure out what I'm thinking. So I started doing that during the pandemic, and after that sort of unraveled and we got back to everything, it still feels like a way to connect with people and think about how complicated, you know, balancing your personal life and your professional life can be, and all of the effort that goes into maintaining your skills. And I guess maybe now I just have a different perspective on that, being a little bit older, versus when we're young and we're right out of school and you can focus on that. You don't have a lot of other stuff going on, so it feels normal to just put all your eggs in the career basket versus later.
And so that just makes me think of just how different a career in music is than so many other fields.
Yeah.
You know, it's certainly not a 9-to-5 job where you can, you go in, you put your time in and come home and that's it. I mean, obviously a lot of us carry over our work into, you know, beyond the 9-to-5. I mean, I realize that other professions do that, but, especially teachers and such, but, time management, for sure is tricky, because, it's not only, teaching, which is often in the evenings if you're teaching privately, but it's, concerts on the weekends, and then, which is a time that often other people are, you know, taking their time off, and then, but you're on, and, so then, and some musicians also have a daytime job, and they're doing both.
Yeah.
And so then it's, how do you manage that time as well?
Well, and as you get older too, if you get married or if you have kids, or, you know, then you're not just thinking about your own time, balancing your own time. You're thinking about the impact that has on your family and on your relationships that are theoretically like the most important relationships. And so then what I hadn't experienced when I was younger, you know, now that I'm married and you have priorities with like family and your you know, relationships at home, and is figuring out that balance of how do I care for the relationships that are really important, that require my time and maybe some sacrifice in terms of work, and sometimes that relationships with yourself that you're trying to figure out how to prioritize, and you know, maybe you have to let something go work-wise or personally or whatever. So it's just, I think all of it's relationship navigation to some extent.
Right.
It's hard.
Yeah. And, you know, as we were saying, you know, as we age, you know, we get to know ourselves a little bit better, and it changes throughout your life too, as well. which in a way, you know, with music, I guess, you know, there is some of that flexibility, but it's just another way of navigating, or, you know, just continuing to change the way you navigate it.
Well, and it's a good, that's a great point, because I think we have, we can get very goal oriented as musicians. So you set off on this like path that I want to do X, Y, and Z. And you can spend 10 years or 15 years doing it and then realize suddenly that maybe I've done that and I don't really like it, but I've only ever focused toward that. So now what do I do? How do I pivot at this point? How do I not lose my motivation? And so being really committed to this idea that like things are constantly changing. So you're constantly navigating this, this adjusting, and that it's okay to adjust, that it's okay to like release the primary goal from 10 years ago and pick a new one. Which is something that I feel like it was a catalyst for me to like talk about our careers, but also was a struggle for me. And in some ways I feel really fortunate because my husband's not a musician, but at the same time, that means it required him to be really understanding of my schedule in the years where I was building something for myself. And then it, at some point I had to realize like, maybe it's time to make some changes so I can prioritize some other things. So yeah, it's really, I think in order maybe to stay, I don't want to say happy, that's the word that's coming to mind, satisfied, you know, as a musician, you have to maybe be willing to change a little bit more than you think you're going to when you get started. The perspective you don't have when you're younger, because you don't even know where you're going to end up.
So, yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
And there are so many different aspects with music, you know, whether it's, you know, teaching, well, teaching privately, then there's, of course, like teaching in public schools, but then there's also playing and performing yeah, and you just, and you don't know, like when you, especially when you start out, you know, where that's going to lead. So.
Yeah, there's just, it's up to some extent you can't plan. And then, you know, we're always, I think, feeling that if we have a job, it's really fortunate and we shouldn't maybe want something different, or we shouldn't let go of a job. And it can also get us a little bit stuck, you know, this is what I do. And not thinking about what else might be able to happen or we would want to happen.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I understand. As I age, you know, and I've certainly gotten to the point where, you know, obviously, I've been a musician, you know, since I've been out of college, but that has come in so many different forms, whether it was, you know, subbing in schools or teaching and playing, but I don't know where I was going to go with that.
This is clear. My life is a lost train of thought.
Exactly. Yeah. So okay, I don't know where I was going with that. So we're going to cut that.
Okay. many paths.
Yeah. They're, right. And okay. So this is what I was going to say. That, so, you know, at some point I was like, okay, I'm a musician, this is what I'm doing. But then, you know, in the past few years, and I started having these thoughts of, well, you know, what if I did something different? What if I went into the public school system? What if, you know, and I started like trying to open up my mind to like different possibilities. And of course, you know, needing a paycheck and needing, you know, like steady income and that kind of thing, but also wanting to stay true to what I love. And it's a struggle. It's a struggle. And then, so, and actually, like, to be perfectly honest, like, you know, this was happening, like, maybe even, like, through last year, where I just, like, stopped doing some things and, like, you know, and taking time off from doing this podcast also, because I was, you know, job searching. And, but then, but then finding out, you know, look, you know, this is who I am. I'm going to make this work. And then just kind of diving in, you know, and try and, you know, doing your best, you know, to make it work. And I don't know how long it will last, you know, but then, you know, do we ever know that about anything?
And, you know, I think it's really, it's important to talk about it, because I think we have this sort of, there's like an idealism that comes with being a musician where it's like you have to be so committed to your art and whatever, and that if you're questioning what you're doing, that somehow it devalues you as a musician. And I think it's the best thing we can do to give ourselves the space to consider how, you know, what do we actually want? Because it's not a small commitment, like we've been talking about. It's so much work. So why wouldn't you give yourself the space to take a step back and think about whether or not, you know, do I really want to do this? And I think, well, at least when I was younger, there's a little bit of like judgment when people quit, you know, because it's like a you couldn't do it situation. And I just think that that doesn't help anybody. I mean, there's no value to that. You never know the circumstances. And I remember the first person I knew who had a college teaching job and was, you know, a successful musician who publicly left music to enter like a regular 9-to-5 corporate position, and how happy they were. And looking at that thinking like, people need to read this. People need to like think about this. That it's okay to change your mind. And we just don't ever, you know, it's like we value too much the I'm doing it this way and I'm going to be miserable, but I'm going
to
do it.
Well, right. And you don't need to be a martyr to your career.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if we've learned anything, you just never know what's coming, you know, from the last 4 years or 5 years or whatever. And so now is a great time to think about it. I think it's just smart to, you know, to not move blindly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In fact, I had a bit of a conversation about this with my daughter, who is 20 years old and who is like trying to figure out her way
right
in the world too. And then, I think I mentioned something about like how I'm constantly reevaluating where I am and like what I'm doing, and am I happy doing what I'm doing? Is it practical? And she looked at me and she's like, that sounds exhausting. Like, yes, it is.
But I think some of that comes with being a musician.
Yeah.
A little bit. I think it's like the biggest myth that we don't, you know, at some point you can stop thinking, I guess you can stop thinking about where you're headed.
But, sure. Yeah. Well, it does get exhausting.
Yeah.
And there's only so much of that you can do, I guess. You
know. But I don't think we should, I guess, is maybe what I want to say. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
So I'll just continue being exhausted. So
relatable.
So, what is the B list then? So like how did you, I mean, I guess what we're talking about is partly how you got to that point.
Sure. So, it's a lot of things. I mean, it is like the concrete thing it is this blog on my website and this newsletter, that I publish, this e-newsletter, obviously. And I had a friend, so when I sent out like kind of the first one of these, when I did, I kind of like restructured everything to be in this idea of the B-list. I had a friend who wrote me and was like, you know, at first I was kind of offended because I was like, the B-list? You know, right. Like, what's that about? And she was like, but then I read the whole like intro and I was like, oh, this is great. So that made me feel better. But it is about what it means to have a fulfilling life when your name is not on a marquee somewhere, or you don't have tenure, or you don't have things that are identifiable to people, especially non-musicians, as markers of success. And it's about the amount of work that it takes to have that career, but how that's a good thing. Because I think we can become very like bitter or jaded about the amount of effort we pour into our careers when they don't reach that peak level that everybody dreams about, you know. So it's really just about how to be, not even how to be, but just the process of figuring out what makes you feel fulfilled. So like we talked about introspection. I realize not everyone is as introspective as I am. sometimes to a fault. But what I'm hoping is that, like, what I'm generating is a place where people, like, can just, it just makes people think. It just gives them another way of looking at what they're doing or what they could do or what's really meaningful in their lives or what's really important in their lives. And just sometimes the basics of that, like, how do you balance a personal life with a career that is so unique, you know, like they are, like a career in music. And yeah, so it's just about the process.
And I remember actually the first time that you mentioned anything about being like a B-list player was actually the first time that we met to talk about this podcast. We were at a Starbucks, of course, drinking coffee. And
my favorite of all the beverages.
And yeah, you, I don't even know what we were talking about, but then you were saying, you know, something about, you know, navigating the career of being a B-list player. And I had never heard of it, you know, or heard of us, like, refer to ourselves as, like, B-list player. And then I was like, well, if she's a B-list player, I am, like, a B-minus, C-plus.
No.
But, I mean, I understand. But, yes, yeah. I understand.
But in the, you know, in the hierarchy of things, like, I'm not running a concert circuit. I'm not tenured in an orchestra or at a school or whatever. I'm, like, but I'm a solid B-list, you know? Like, I've got a solid footing where I'm at. And, and so there's some freedom in that, too. Like, in a recognition of, that doesn't mean more is not possible. It just means I'm okay where I'm at. And you can work from that. It's like allowing yourself to have a sense of security in your skills or in whatever the current place is, even if you want it to get better.
Yeah. So, and so I signed up for the B-list newsletter.
Thank you.
And I've received three of them so far. But they, it's great to read it and hear it, well, and just to see it in print, and in some way, I guess, like, feel validated in, like, the feelings that you have about the career. And in your first email to subscribers, you spoke of cultivating intentionality, which was so interesting to me because, like, I know you pick a word of the year every year, and so intention was my word for this year.
I didn't know that till we started talking about today. It's a good one. We picked a good word.
So, yeah. And, well, you know, and previous to that, there was focus, and I don't even know what last year was. It's a blur. But, and so intention actually is, you know, a form of focus, I guess. But, and for me, yeah, it means that with my time, especially, like, I'm creating how I spend it intentionally in both my professional and personal life. And so now that I've decided and accepted, you know, that I am a freelance musician, you know, I have some big goals coming up, and I want to make sure that I'm focusing on compartmentalizing those while also intentionally creating free time with my family, which in some ways, like, I feel like I have been missing because, you know, and you and I have talked before about the whole saying no to gigs and saying no to things or even, you know, new students and that kind of thing, which I have been terrible with.
It's
and
so
I have taken on
hard.
A lot. Right. But I'm always, like, the person who, like, I just, like, I'll pile it on until, like, I break.
Yeah.
And then I can't, I'm like, well,
it's too much. Yeah.
Okay. But I just want to find out, like, what is my breaking point?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Which is maybe not a great way to, like, go through life, but.
Well, I find that super relatable because I do the same, but some of that's the, what do I want to say? I don't know the word I want. It's this fear we have of not having work and that if we turn things off for just a second, that next person's going to slip in there and people won't need us anymore. That's such a musician thing because we're very aware of the number of us there are and the number of places there are for us to be.
Yeah.
And it just feeds that. So if you have that tendency anyway, it's just a really, like,
Sure.
It's a catalyst for,
right.
Know.
Well, yeah. And it's so easy for us to be threatened by other people who are like playing the same instruments, mm-hmm. or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, I mean, I think everybody, you know, at some point, you mm-hmm. know, goes through that. I mean, it's hard.
Yes.
It's hard to get over.
Yeah.
And for some of us, you know, in certain ways, like not to be like bitter about, you know, certain things. And so, and for me too, like, it's hard for me to like carve out downtime. Like that's yes. one of like the, because I'm just like, go, and my husband will like attest to uh-huh. this uh-huh. for sure. He's like, yeah. can you just stop? I'm like, but I need to keep, like, I don't know. I don't know if it's like, what is the word? Like gosh.
If it's like for me, it's a fear that if I stop moving, everything will just like, the wheels will come off of everything. I don't know if that's where you're headed with that.
Scarcity. So, yes. That's mm-hmm. right. It's the scarcity, I don't know, mm-hmm. complex or whatever.
Yeah.
Like you're just afraid that like, it's all just going to go away or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, anyway, so will you be my therapist?
I don't know if I'm qualified for that.
You don't want that job. Okay,
well, I don't know if I'm qualified to be anybody's, especially not my own. So,
but I mean, I love that you're voicing and speaking to what I myself am going through as a musician who wants to achieve, you know, mm-hmm. some sort of balance in my life. So, and I think a lot of us, mm-hmm. you know, just go through that. So anyway, getting to the point I had about 10 minutes ago, in your first email to subscribers, you said, quote, "We can create so much change and momentum in our own lives, but it takes what can be an uncomfortable amount of introspection to really generate growth. It requires us to look objectively at what we have been striving for and why. We have to consider that our own perspective and analyzation of ourselves as musicians has been built on the foundation of the messages we've received. What would happen if we turned off the messages streaming in for a while and reevaluated?" End quote. And there. there's the question. So, but that's what we've been talking about, is like reevaluating.
It's not easy. It's really, I mean, first of all, we're in a discipline where you're always looking for validation from someone. I mean, that's mm-hmm. how we learn to some extent. So if you don't want to go back to a lesson after practicing all week and have your teacher look at you and go like, mm-hmm. like not have anything to say. So to some extent we need a validation either of good or bad, mm-hmm. you know, constructively over time, but it's also fed by the fact that we go to auditions and we need feedback from auditions and we need feedback of winning a job or not winning a job, those are the things, those are the gates that we pass, you know, as we're trying to figure out what we're doing. And we can create lots of things for ourselves. You don't need permission to start a private studio, although we need skill, you know, mm-hmm. you can like create things for yourself, but it's hard to trust your own self-evaluation when you've spent decades being instructed, mm-hmm. needing to be instructed. Mm-hmm. You know, I needed my teachers to help me be a better player, mm-hmm. but how do you move forward into a process of like trusting your own perspective on yourself? I think it's really hard. And I think the internet makes it harder because then you start to see way too many other ways you can be validated, or you're seeing other people getting validated for something you don't think looks like it should get so much attention, or you just want strangers to pay attention to you, or, you know, there's like mm-hmm. so many other layers that happen when you add the internet on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it makes it much worse, I feel.
It's so noisy. And really hard to, like, even harder than it used to be, mm-hmm. to just go, like, I know what's best for myself, you know, and trust that.
Right. And for me, it's feeling like I'm not doing
mm-hmm.
And then, right. So then it's hard to find what you really want and, like, tap into your, like, you know, creativeness or your, you know, what works mm-hmm. for you.
Yeah, what are you good at? What mm-hmm. what do you value? Yeah. What do you want other people to value? Mm-hmm. You know, and you never know. It's, you're looking at all these other people going, and like you said, I have that same sense of, look at all the things this person is doing, and I should be doing that. Mm-hmm. But you never understand the whole picture.
Yeah.
You never know. So, like, mm-hmm. maybe they shouldn't be doing that either. Maybe it's not actually good for them, even if they're achieving something. I mean, it's just... it. That's where all that overload of just outside excess information can be so harmful. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're trying to figure out how to just, like, what do I want? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I read something, well, and you just talked about this with, you know, creating mm-hmm. things, you know, well, creating work. And I read on somebody on Instagram.
Always.
Who was talking about that as musicians, we can find, you know, different avenues. Like, we don't have to go the traditional mm-hmm. routes of either being, you know, a public school teacher or you know, private teacher, performance. Like, there are so many different, you know, avenues mm-hmm. with music that we can do that. And sometimes, like, we have to get to the point, it's okay to, like, create your own work.
Yeah.
You know, and which is kind of, that's a bit of what I've found, mm-hmm. you know, through the past few years as well. It's like, yeah. you know, you know, by still staying true to yourself, but still trying to create, you mm-hmm. know, and you never know where it will lead, like, anything
else.
No,
you don't. Just like we were yeah. talking earlier. And that's maybe the part I find scariest is, like, you can throw an idea out there and hope. And you can be so invested and feel like it's something so useful and productive and good. Mm. And it, instead of sticking to the wall, you know, it literally slides just straight down to the floor instantly. You can tell no one else is interested in it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes something you don't think anyone else will care about, people get really invested in. And so it always feels like a little bit of a tightrope walk when you put something out there that you care a lot about, because... Mm-hmm. You, again, it's that sense of self-evaluation that even if other people don't identify with it, doesn't mean it's not valid, doesn't mean it wasn't worth trying. Mm-hmm. You know, that stuff is really intimidating. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So what has helped you figure out your path? Like, are there... So, I mean, you're obviously, you know, are... a yoga instructor, a certified yoga instructor, and also with meditation, and you have a great hobby of reading all the time.
Yeah.
So I imagine some of it, or a lot of it, you know, comes from those things. Like, what has helped you find your way?
Yeah, all of those things. I mean, we've talked about introspection, and I tend toward that anyway, but I think yoga and meditation both have taught me a more balanced way of being introspective, so that it's not just self-criticism, so that there's some parameters to the way you see yourself, which I find tremendously helpful, because it's so easy. I mean, we all know if you play a performance and you don't have a good performance, then you can walk away and just feel so terrible about yourself as a person. Mm-hmm. It's a great thing for us to learn to be a little bit more, you know, balanced about ourselves. And so those two disciplines particularly, but they are both things that I just was interested in, and then I allowed myself to explore the interest. So, I mean, obviously not everybody's going to want to do those things, mm-hmm. but I think some of it is paying attention to what you are drawn to, and then allowing yourself to be drawn to it. So, and reading for me, I think, again, it's a solitary activity, which I like. And it also is just, I enjoy being challenged to think about things different ways, and not being so stuck in my own thoughts. Mm-hmm. So even without having to, like, you know, seek out other people, you can be challenged. And so I think the base of it all, though, is just letting myself do the things that I'm drawn to, which is not always easy and can actually also feel terrible sometimes, because it can feel like you're splitting your time that you should be spending with your instrument, practicing, like building that skill. So there's definitely like a balance to it that doesn't always work. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and along those lines, you mentioned in your newsletter, which I did read, by the way.
Thank you.
Not only did I get it, I read it.
See it, that I really appreciate.
I read it. So, but you mentioned that in February that you've had a goal of giving yourself extra time in the morning to just be, and I completely agree that the whole distractedness of our culture, you know, we talk about social media and oh my gosh, like, and just the rabbit hole
we can get so lost.
And so, right. Yeah. And to the point where you don't even realize, yes, like how much it affects you. It's less like it, you know, yeah, infiltrates like, yes, every,
yeah,
part of you, mm-hmm, to a point which is, ugh, yeah. Yeah, getting a headache thinking about it. But it's just overwhelming and undeniably, yeah, you know, I've gotten sucked into like checking my phone incessantly, yes, and I need to actually like commit to intentionally, like putting my phone away.
Yeah.
And then, right. And when we talk about like, I have trouble with downtime.
Oh yeah.
Because I mean, and I think a lot of us, that's what we do. Like, mm-hmm, you know, even if you're like standing in the, like the line at the grocery store,
yeah, you're,
and you know, I'm, yeah, bored for like 5 seconds. Oh my God, get my phone. Yeah. Like I, you know, right.
We have this joke about this, not to derail us, Brian and I have this joke. Like we'll be watching a movie together and I'll go downstairs to get popcorn or drinks or something. And while I'm gone, he'll pause the movie and I'll come up and he'll have reels and he'll look at me and go, what did I do without a phone? Like, you know, it's like we do it, we don't even realize it. So we joke about it because it's, yeah, like, well, how did we get here?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. It's just, mm-hmm, yeah. So, anyway, so what you wanted to do in February was to give yourself some extra time in the morning, yeah, in particular, to just be, mm-hmm, right? And, which, you know, I mean, this is along the lines of meditation, mm-hmm, and not necessarily that you're meditating at, yeah, that time, yeah, but that you're just existing,
yes,
or reading, or, you know, something that is just not...
Yes, not having phone to respond to other people,
yes,
in your life. Like, why should I,
right,
would I invite these people into my home at 7 a.m? No. Like, yeah, why do I do it? Why would I let myself do it? Why am I checking emails? Like, you're not, you shouldn't be here with me while I'm drinking, right, my coffee.
Right. Yeah. Well, because cat reels in particular,
oh, yes,
are just fun to watch.
Well, yes, but, there are some exceptions. Right. Like, the cats are not taking over my life. I mean, they are, but in a good way. So.
But anyway.
Yeah.
So how is it going? I mean, we're at, what is it, February 23rd?
Something. 4th, 20 something.
Yes.
It's going. Not great. Part of the reason I wanted to do this is because I have this terrible habit, you talk about trying to do too much, where I pile so much in now, especially that I'm teaching in higher ed, I pile so much into the semester, mm-hmm, that 15 weeks, you know, that I lose the things that I know I need to do to take good care. So it's like I'm doing yoga maybe once a week, I'm meditating maybe twice a week, whereas before, or when it's not the middle of the semester, I'm doing those things multiple times a week and I'm finding the space to do them. But one, I hate getting up early, and two, trying to fit them in before I start the day, you know, when you're not getting up early enough, you just lose, like, it feels like more chaos. Like, I'm trying to, you know, mm-hmm, go and go and go. So I thought, you know, and I got the idea from James Clear's newsletter, and it, one of the things he shared, because he gives these little ideas once a week to kind of ruminate on, and one of them was like just getting up early without a purpose, and if you like it, fine, then get up 5 minutes earlier. So I'm trying. I have been waking up earlier. I don't always get out of bed earlier. Mm-hmm. There are mornings that I can just make a coffee and read for 10 minutes. And sometimes no. And I haven't started trying to expect myself to do yoga or meditate. Or I'm trying to not put a parameter, because if you're always trying to do more, the last thing you need is another box to check. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to let it go. But this is a multi-month project. Like, this is not not happening, you know, fully right now. And it's getting easier because, too, I just hate getting up when it's dark out. And so now that the light's changing again, it's getting much easier. I'm hoping that by next November, this November, I'm doing it enough that I can keep doing it when it gets dark again. But that's a big part of it for me. So, I mean, it's getting there. But I do see a difference on the days I get to do it. I, like, walk into my day a better person because I wasn't distracted from the time I put my feet on the ground. Like, because that's a thing. You know, you can really start your day feeling already pulled in like 20 directions. So
yeah, because often, like, upon waking, it's just like, what am I doing today?
Who emailed me overnight? It's,
right,
what did I forget about that needs done? Or
which I think just adds to, like, this the stress of life. Just it just compounds everything.
It does,
because you're just like, you're constantly being bombarded. But yeah, so, and, like, well, and that, with any other habit, you know, takes time to... And diligence, I guess,
it
too.
It does. And people, this is the part, I think, everybody, this is the thing about the internet that just, like, drives me nuts about Instagram, is everything is like a, let me fix you in 30 seconds. Let me give you a 30-second fix for feeling anxious or this or what that, or let me give you a certification for something in 3 days. And, it's totally unrealistic to expect something to change so quickly. Nothing happens fast. And people, I think people to some extent don't want to acknowledge that the process of building, I mean, it took years for me to build any kind of a meditation habit. I'm still struggling with it, even though I know how valuable it is to myself. So things just take time.
So we'll check in in November.
Okay.
Okay. See how it's going.
Yes, please. I will need at least that long, I'm sure.
So, and actually, so you teach creative resilience to musicians? Like, what is that?
No, this is a new, this all kind of bubbled up at the same time as the B-list.
Okay.
Where, I have had some experience now teaching using, like, the things I've learned from yoga and meditation about how our brain works and how our body works, how they work together, the way it applies to practice and performance. And so it's something I would like to do more of, is to teach those skills to people. So not playing your instrument skills, just how to work with yourself if you always feel this kind of, some particular kind of tension when you're performing. Like, where is that coming from? Is it thought based or is it, like, anatomy based? And then how are your thoughts and your feelings feeding off of each other? So it's just using all these extra things that worked so well for me to help pull me out of a really like just bad place performing. So yeah, that's that all kind of happened at the same time as the B-list.
Yeah, they kind of intertwine.
Yes, it's all kind of the same mindset, but I really would like to do more of that type of teaching. Being more, you know, helping people understand how, what they can do so that they can trust themselves more. We've talked about, like, trusting your self-analyzation, you know, like, your experience, and then how to work with that.
Gotcha. Do you have any specific goals with the B-list?
Yeah, I mean, I have all kinds of goals. I mean, right now, I just would like to grow, like, the readership. I think one of the best things about it is how many people will write me back after they read something and be like, oh, this is my experience of this, and this is what happened, and here's a book I liked. And
oh,
I love
great.
This, like, exchange that I think it's really fun, that it's sort of building a community. So I hope that it kind of grows over time into that, into a place where maybe people can connect over things that they identify with, because all our experiences are different. I just want to keep writing at this point. I hope it grows into something succinct eventually, but yeah.
Okay. And right, so, and that's kind of where you see it headed.
Yeah.
Toward, like, through writing, building a community.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Is there anything else that you want to add about the B-list or?
No, just that, like, I mean, obviously it's like I'm writing from my own perspective and I don't think that I have any of the answers to, you know, but it's just all with that intention of letting, like, talking about it, like you said,
just it's starting a conversation.
Yes. And just giving people a place that it's okay to talk about the things that we deal with. And then maybe that makes them think differently than they might have otherwise, or starts a conversation, or I think I just want it to have that sense that I'm not speaking from a teaching perspective so much as just a
human
the personal, like, we're all in it together perspective. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's just like a safe space in a way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to like acknowledge that, you know, it's hard, and we probably will make a bunch of mistakes and poor choices because we'll work too much, or we'll say no to something we shouldn't have, or whatever it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So where can people find information about the B-list?
So it's on my website, which is my, it's morganelysedavis.com. So Morgan with two N's, Elyse, E-L-Y-C-E, morganelysedavis.com. We'll yeah. And /... B-list, or just go to the website. And then if you're interested in, if people are interested in getting the newsletter, you just have to scroll to the bottom and stick your email address in. And there's 2 a month, and I will never sell and share and all that stuff. So, you know, it's safe space in always. But yeah, so it's on my website, and then I'm on Instagram, and I think my handle is, I should know this, Morgan Davis Flute is my Instagram handle. So either way. But,
Well, it's a great thing. Thanks. It really is. And it's just what you're doing. Like it, like I said, is it just this, it speaks to like what I go through and every other musician I'm sure goes through. And it just, and hopefully, yes, just makes people think about it and understand that, you know, you're not alone.
Yes.
Really.
Yeah.
Because in some ways, it can be very isolating.
It's a very lonely profession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though you're playing with people and you're in a room with an audience, you know, I mean, you're sharing something, you're sharing music, but, you know, and part of the reason for like this podcast was to like build some sort of like community with other musicians and colleagues and teachers and that kind of thing too. But just to know that we all like share in these struggles.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even this conversation, you know, we're already friends. We already talk about this stuff, but it gave us an excuse to talk about it more. And like I said, I love getting emails from people and having those types of conversations and feeling like, I mean, I want to feel not alone too. That was, that's part of the motivation. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if anybody who is listening or watching, you know, has anything to add has questions, you know, obviously like we're on YouTube and we, like Between the Notes also has an Instagram and Facebook page, but, and an email, which is lifebetweenthenotes@gmail.com. But you can, you know, certainly, you know, write to us and let us know about, you know, your struggles, you know, and, or if you have questions,
Or you just want to get it out.
Or maybe you want to come to Morgan's house and smell this candle.
Yes. And drink coffee with us.
Which would be great. But, but yeah, and you know, I'm always happy to talk to people about, you know, these kinds of things too. And so
we need to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so nice to talk. Yes. Just like talk. We're always texting or whatever. It's nice to actually just talk.
Yes. Lots of texting going on. Yeah. But yes. So thank you. Thanks for being on our show.
You know. So, and you know what? I bet we're going to do it again soon.
I bet.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we have plans. There are plans. So,
yeah.
Okay, awesome. Cool. Thanks so much.
Yeah.